Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the much neglected Televangelist Podcast. The Televangelist Podcast is a part of the IB Network, and we are here today to talk about the third season of Succession. I have a podcast virgin, a newbie, here with me, my really good friend and fellow Succession fan, Cynthia Rodriguez. Everybody give her a hand of applause, a round of applause.
With you. Oh my God, this is so exciting.
I know, I just sprung it on her. So if she's bad, don't say anything, but I'm pretty sure she'll be just fine. If she's a newbie, I'll guide her very slowly. It's not my first time. No, let me. No experienced hand here. All right. So last night's, or I guess it wasn't last night anymore, Sunday's episode was really good. I think universally, everybody thought it blew people out of the water. Part of what blew people out of the water, I think, or at least got people going, was the anticipation of whether Kendall was dead or not dead. How did you interpret that scene when you saw it in episode 8?
I didn't really think much about it, to be honest with you. I thought he was just hanging out in the pool, feeling depressed, and just completely out of it, kind of disengaging more than anything else. I know that there was a lot of speculation at the end of the episode as to whether or not this was a suicide. Was he dead? Was he not dead? And it was only after all of those conversations started that I started seeing it from that perspective.
So when I saw it, I was like, okay. It's like, wait a minute. Did he die? So it was confusion. It wasn't like, I wasn't sure one way or the other. Then I read a couple articles to try to find out. And some of the people, the big time bloggers and everything that I read, they were saying, well, maybe he died because that was the Last Supper and he had the last conversation with Logan and his character arc was over. And so then by about Wednesday, the Reddit sleuths had found him at the table at the wedding and had seen clips from other episodes where he was near, from the table scene also with Connor and Shiv, they saw like a corner of him. So these people had sleuthed it and I figured out that he pretty much wasn't dead. But
right.
it didn't feel like Succession to leave that kind of cliffhanger, like is he dead or not? But it was interesting, I thought. It made me think about the show more and anticipate even more. They don't usually leave you with a cliffhanger like that.
Right. I think for me, it was more, like I said, him kind of disengaging from the dynamic that he was caught up in. You know, he reached a low of lows right after the birthday, after that ultimate humiliation at his brother's, you know, push. And so at the wedding, just dealing with everyone again and the whole dynamic and all the back and forth and the backstabbing and mom and her hatred, her disdain, his father's disdain, everyone hates him all of a sudden, right? Not all of a sudden, but you know but what yeah, I mean.
I know what you mean. It all crashed down on him.
Yeah. And I think it was just him hitting rock bottom, so to speak. I didn't take it as, you know, is he dead? It was more like he really hit rock bottom. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the floating bottle was just kind of, you know, that whole visual of the bottle kind of sinking or turning upside down or whatever.
And some people said it was like kind of symbolic or, well, symbolic, but also like he was trying to see what the guy felt like. But I think it's more like what you were saying. He was just like out of it. But the way they handled it, the next episode was kind of interesting because it didn't show it. And they made it apparent that he was going to be okay pretty quick when Logan said that to Iverson. But it was interesting that it was like, no big deal. Maybe it was a suicide. Maybe he fell off the floaty. Maybe it was kind of indirect. It was troubling, but they didn't really spell out for you what really happened.
But isn't that kind of par for the course when it comes to Kendall? As far as relationships and people caring about him, about his well-being, about his persona, who Kendall is. Does anybody really give a crap? It doesn't seem like they do.
Not really.
And so, So the fact that they just kind of glossed over the whole situation and mentioned it in a perfunctory manner, I think made sense because it just showed how little attention they paid to it. Like it really was nothing to them. It was just Kendall acting out somehow.
I mean, they had their little intervention later, but it still was kind of like, you know, this is kind of what he does. What's he doing? Let me, maybe we'll get him some help. But it wasn't like,
right,
everyone wasn't like rushing to the hospital. Like nobody went to the hospital with him, evidently.
Right.
Like, nobody went there to check. Nobody, it was almost like he just had a binge or something, or I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, did you feel like that intervention was a really heartfelt intervention, or was it more about Kendall, or more about all the drama so that they can move on with their corporate, you know, issues?
That's a good question. See, I take them at face. I think they all secretly love each other, but I think I'm kind of sappy about it. Whereas most of the people on there that watch it think they're just awful people, but I think they do care. Like they just don't know how to show it. And he, Connor, I can't remember what he said, but he was like, he might've said straight up. He said, "I love you." And he said something like straight up, like, "I'm not joking." And Kendall was like, "What?" Like, y'all said, "I love you." And there's no punchline. And, you know, Roman couldn't handle it because he said, you know, "I guess I don't want you to die." He couldn't handle it, but they try, like, they don't have the capabilities of being like this. So I think to them, that was their best effort, you know, because they could have just shunned him. Logan didn't do a damn intervention or say anything. He just was worried about the kids, you know? Gosh, the highlight of the episode, obviously, was the final scene. There was so much, but it reminded me so much of a movie. This is the closest thing it came to like a normal show, where they were storming the castle, and then at the end they fought the big boss and they got their ass kicked.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was intense.
So devastating. What was your take on it?
It was really, really, it was a powerful scene, you know, because on the one hand, you've been following these people for 3 seasons and, you know, there's a lot of poor little rich kids. And it's hard to relate to them in so many ways. But in this one scene, it's like, wow, you really feel for them and you're kind of rallying behind them. You're storming in there with them. You want them to get, you know, finally get a leg up, finally have an answer. Who's going to succeed or who's going to be, you know, in control in some way. To have that to have it just snatched from them in that way, when you almost see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel for them. And then it's like, wah, wah, wah.
I thought at the very worst, I said, okay, well, season one, it was Kendall versus Logan. Season two ended with Kendall versus Logan too, but it was always Kendall trying to take over Logan's spot, and with the other ones jockeying too to be the next one in line. And I said, okay, this time all three are going to combine. They're going to end the season at a stalemate, and then the next season will be the three of them versus him. But that's not what happened at all. Like, it went down. It's the worst case scenario for them. I don't even see where the show goes from there. But gosh, I couldn't believe that. And then the cruelty of their mother turning on them one last time. That was just, that's what I really felt for them. That was devastating.
Yeah, definitely. And as much as we've seen how non-maternal this woman has been with them, all these, you know, the few appearances that she's made, her few appearances have shown how not maternal she really is, and how little she relates to her own children, her own flesh and blood. So this was like her last FU, like, this is who I am, you know, I'm done. You know, I just got married.
Just like an apartment for her man, basically, is what I gather from it. It wasn't a whole lot more. She, you know,
yeah.
Like, really? That's what we're doing there? I'm conflicted because I felt really sorry for I felt sorry for Roman because he had been there this season. He was ascending and his star was on the rise, and he fucked up with the dick pic, and then Logan like totally just lost respect for him. He was like, I can't trust you. I don't believe it. And in my perspective, a lot of people feel sorry for the kids, but I'm always like, well, Logan built this thing and they all disappoint him in various ways, even though I'm not sure he ever gave Shiv a real chance. Maybe latent sexism or whatever. But Roman's like, because of love, you know, he really wants, he's the one that more obviously wants his father's approval. And he was just crushed. He was on his knees with Jerry. And I almost feel like I don't know if you think this or not, but I think Logan really would have taken care of him. He wouldn't have given him the company, obviously, but Logan would have taken care of him in the deal with Mattson because he was with him, but because he was trying to get him on his side, because he didn't need him on his side. He was asking, you know?
Right. I think you're right. I think he definitely gave Roman more of a chance all season long than he ever did to Shiv, despite the fact that, you know, she was the one on paper.
He kept telling her that, but he kept pulling the rug out from under. So
Right. And it did seem like, and Roman somewhat redeemed himself, because the first two seasons he was a total just.
Yeah, he was a fuck up. Nobody took him seriously. I didn't think he was ever going to take over, but I definitely thought his dad respected him. He was the go-to guy. I thought it was more than a gopher. He was handling the biggest deal. It just But then that scene, if you remember that scene with Mattson, when he asked Logan to stay, and Mattson looks at Ken, or not Ken, I keep getting confused, looks at Roman.
At Roman.
And then basically Logan's like, go ahead back and fuck off. And, you know, so it was like, oh no, he's dropping him out. He's not letting him in the big boy table. So I saw that too. And what about Tom? Did you see that coming? I thought that was like, we had so many situations in the finale that was so good, but Tom being the mole or the snitch and Logan patting him on the shoulder, I felt like that was the icing on the cake to everything.
I mean, that moment was absolute perfection. You know, seeing it from Siobhan's point of view, that little glimpse, that little tap on the shoulder, I mean, it said so much. And the devastation in her and the sense of betrayal that you can tell she felt.
Yeah, you see it in her face when he's like,
oh yeah,
touching her, and you can see her face just like, you know.
Yeah,
and
it was palpable.
It was perfect. And a lot of people, I'm not a fan of Tom, but I did start to have a slight bit of sympathy for him this year, because I always saw him as this social climber that was only married to her for status, but he does love her. He wants the other things too, but he does love her, and he's not horrible to her. He's horrible to everybody else, but he's not horrible to her. And he just asked her to, like, hey, when you're doing stuff, can you consider me? And that scene where they were doing the naughty talk or whatever, and she's like, I don't love you. You're not in my league.
I'm out of your league, right?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, talk about emasculating somebody, which is funny, because, you know, Tom is an imposing presence. He's like a big guy. And for her to just knock him down was that was humiliating. That was pretty bad.
And they telegraphed it, but the way you make Tom seem, the good thing about this show is that you don't see it coming. People can say they see it coming, but you don't see it coming, because they drop hints about everything and things never happen. And they made Tom so devoted to Shiv, they never on camera showed him like not kissing her ass, like right to the final moment.
Absolutely.
He's still kissing her ass, and still even on the phone call. And then he makes that decision to do that. But to her face, he's never like really done anything. He said a couple things like, maybe I don't like this, maybe I don't want to be a hippie, but I mean, he's just saying, you know, I don't like it, but not this kind
of he's never asserted himself.
Yeah, exactly. Like this kind of betrayal, I wouldn't have thought he would have done that and still try to be married to her.
Yeah, that was pretty hardcore.
Now, there was a lot of criticism. I think we talked privately, like maybe the first three or four episodes. Do you think were you frustrated at any point in the season?
I was. It just felt like I was on a hamster wheel, you know, just going around in circles and, you know, what the hell is happening? When is there going to be some sort of movement? You have slow builds in a lot of shows, but this was painfully slow for me. But, you know, I'm already committed to the show, so I followed it through, and I'm actually glad I did, because I think it paid off.
Yeah, it definitely did pay off. But I thought this season more than, and the first season was finding its way. So that, you throw that out a little bit, because the first four episodes, it was still finding its way. A lot of people have gone back and watched it in the groups I'm in. They're like, really? This was like that? And this was like that? It's like, you know, around 4, 5, 6, 7, they found its way. By the end of the season, they knew who these people were. But
in
this season, I think the way it was supposed to be this big thing, they made these huge things out of things, and then they were nothing. So he was the whistleblower. Kendall was the whistleblower. And right. then nothing really happened with that. They made it right. Armageddon.
It was a whole lot.
It really was nothing. Just like water guns.
Right.
And maybe
a
that's
a whole lot way. Of nothing. And yeah, it's like, and really? You know. Yeah.
If the guy that owned Disney or owned Disney, Bob Iger, if one of his sons came out and said that stuff about, can you imagine if like a CEO and their son who had a big position said this is what's right. happening? Not just a regular whistleblower, but like the son. I feel like there would be more. Right. They had these congressional hearings right before that. They've been in so much trouble. I don't see how they could have just, but we just got scenes of saying, oh yeah, it's taken care of. You know, nobody's going to jail. Oh, you know, they're just right. going to find us. Oh, you know, we're FBI raided us, but they didn't find anything. And that was it. So it was no drama to the big right. central conflict. And then I was actually, the show actually picked back up for me when they did away with that. They just said, look, we're just going to be fine. Nobody's going to jail. And then they did the Gojo thing. And then it picked, right. it picked back up, you know?
And I think that's only been two episodes or.
Yeah, I guess it was the, there was the birthday party. Was the birthday party, right. was that the ninth episode? There was the birthday party, then there was another episode, and there was this.
That was the.
It's just three, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the birthday party. Then yeah. That last week where Kendall, but I can't remember anything other than Kendall. Oh yeah, the confrontation, because they're still at the wedding. So that scene, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that scene was amazing. That last week was, I thought last week was awesome until this week, because they had that huge confrontation between Logan and Kendall, and I thought that, I think they could top that. So I wanted to break down some of the season arcs with the characters. I guess we could start at the top, which is Logan. We didn't see much of Logan this season. Mm-hmm. How much did you... And I think some of that was some of the weakness of the season. But what did you think of his character story this season or storyline?
I think it was interesting because in the he's had his highs and his lows, moments where I mean he's shown himself to be super formidable. I mean this man is takes no prisoners, but at the same time we saw him completely vulnerable with the urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. The scene with Mattson when they were, was it Mattson that no, they were hiking?
And Adrian Brody when they were hiking, the other guy. Yeah,
that's
Adrian
right.
Brody played that character. Yeah, he was like, that's about right. to die.
Yeah, so, we've seen a lot of, moments where we think, oh, he's done. Yeah, and then he comes back. It's like he just won't freaking die.
Yeah, it's like he does always come back with force.
And yeah.
He's saying, we're going to get him, And you can't. And he's finally like, okay, I've had my nine lives, I'm out, which I never thought
right.
that character would do. But he's my favorite part of the show. So I don't like when the kids are running the show, but they did expand those characters. I don't know if they grew, but those characters can handle carrying a season better than they have been able to in the past. But yeah, Logan, and I don't know how much of Logan we'll see next season because he sold the company. So I'm not sure where you go or how you go from there. I don't know. I don't know how much we'll see of Logan.
Well, I wonder whether or not it is an absolutely done deal.
That's a good question too. They're good at erasing stuff. I would say that's one of the weaknesses of the show. So you have right. Kendall. You thought maybe he killed himself. It's no big deal. You have Jerry and the dick picture. And then looks like she's going to get pushed out of the company. Not really a big deal. You have
right.
the FBI raided the company. Not really a big deal.
No.
It's like right. they're like cop teasers. They like get you. And then that whole cliffhanger in their hands, it's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And even all the horrible absolutely. Things they say to each other, it's not a big deal. With the right. letter between, and they did address that a little bit, but then they've never really like made up with Kendall and Shiv and with Roman and Kendall, right. they didn't make up. And I know brothers and sisters do things, but as adults, those fights tend to carry more weight.
Right. I mean, there are some things you can't come back from.
Yeah.
I think that, like the scene at Kendall's birthday where Roman I mean, you know, that was cruel on Roman's part. It wasn't just, you know, ribbing between siblings. Like, he was being completely cruel to his brother, and he wanted to humiliate him. You know, so some things are forgivable, even among family, and some things are not, but they or just kind of, okay. Wow,
but they seem to get over it really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have Shiv. I was disappointed in her story arc this season because, A, she didn't develop. They made her into a super bitch. And I defended her because a lot of people, they say really bad things about Sarah Snook and her appearance, even though she's like the sexiest woman on TV to me. And the character, when she does horrible things, she's a bitch. And when other people do horrible things, it's okay. But she really was a super bitch as the season went on. And she just, and one thing that one of the guys that used to podcast with me kept saying is that, you know, she looks dumb because they keep pulling the rug out from under her.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, initially the first season, I remember feeling she was a pretty strong woman, even though she was kind of cast aside. I felt like she was somebody with a lot of potential, you know, professionally, and she just wasn't being given a chance. And then this season, we see that she's given a chance and she's just not maximizing it. She just kept sort of dropping the ball. Part of it is because they kept, you know, pulling the rug out from under her, but maybe it's because she just couldn't bring it.
And I think she's better in the political world than she is in the
business world.
Grow up, yep. She wanted to do something else and she switched, and she just, but it's also all boys too. And it can't be, it's an all boys network, and it kind of kept her out of it too. Cause there was when basically like the other people on the board, I forget their names, Carl and the other guy, she was trying to get to them, and they complained about her. And Logan was like, chill out on them. It's like, well, you just gave her the authority to do stuff. And then when they complain, like, you cut her legs out. So how are you going to, you know, how could she do it? You know, I don't know. He wouldn't have put up with that, but she made her put up with it. So I didn't think she was given a fair shot. And then the stuff with Tom.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think he dangled the little carrot in front of her. He did it to appease her for a little while, just until he could kind of figure out. I think he was just using her as a placeholder while he played his other games.
Yeah, around exactly. Her. And he likes to bring them close, and then, but not too close. No, you can't have it. You know, that's why he brings them close. And like his wife said, the best one, of the most profound lines, say Logan likes to kick things as far as he can and see if they come back. And that's what he does in the business. He's like, get out of here. You know, oh, come on. You can be the next one. Get out of here. You know, that's what he does. Do you think, this is off of our script here, do you think Logan loves his children?
I think he loves them as far as he's capable of loving.
Yeah, I think that too.
Yeah.
Because he has moments where he shows compassion or he discusses it, but he can't. Like the stuff with Kendall, he's like, on the boat, not Kendall, I keep calling him Kendall, Roman on the boat. And he's like, you know, if you need to get yourself straight. I don't want to know about it. He's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, screens are up the ass. Or he's like asking me, he's like, if you're gay, you know, just go do your thing. If you got sexual addiction, go get it fixed. But I don't want to know. Like, that's his version of like love, which is really weird, but he doesn't have.
Well, because definitely... a lot of it is about not necessarily his love as for his children as a father, but his love as it relates to his appearance.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
You know, it's about him.
That's true. That's a good point. It definitely is about him and how it makes him look. And he doesn't really care that his son is a sexual deviant, just that he's a freak, that it makes him look bad or whatever.
Right.
And of course we have Jeremy Strong is fantastic. It's Kendall, but
yes.
Sometimes I felt like he was kind of spinning his wheels because basically what would happen is Kendall would try something. He would fail. And then he would get real sad. It's hard. It's easy to ignore that because of that great scene where he's on the ground at the end of the episode or the middle of the episode last season. But what was your take on how Kendall went this season?
Kendall was just really frustrating because he was delusional in some ways. He just he got caught in this fantasy of his about revenge, about kind of, you know, getting back what's owed to him in his mind anyway. And I think that because of that, he was really blind as far as doing. It made him look really pathetic.
Yeah, he really was. Like the birthday party,
you know.
And before that, remember he wanted to go on to that Daily Show type show. And he's
right.
Mean tweet, good tweet, bad tweet. And he was so not self-aware, but so affected by his celebrity on one moment and aggrandizing how great he was. And it did remind me of a lot of like fake woke people, but his lack of self-awareness is like worse than anybody on the show, I think. Because no one thinks he's this great champion. And even when he got up, he's tone deaf. He got up and he read the names at the board meeting of the women affected.
Right, right. And nobody, it was dead silence in the room.
it's like nobody like gets you or thinks you're, you know, you are what the host of the show, the Black lady. And she actually does host a real show like that, evidently. But and I'd never heard of her or seen her before. Uh-huh. But that's everything that he is. And he just became, I used to sort of like Kendall, but this season, I don't like him at all. Like he's better. I used to say
this. Yeah, no, he was completely not likable.
I used to say this about my dad and it was horrible, but I was like, I like you better when you drink. And I know in the end, you causes a lot of problems, but your personality is actually better to interact with when you drink. And that's a kind of, when he's high, like the season before when he was high, like he would get going and get high the last two seasons. But now he just was like, just failure after failure. I almost wish he had won. It might have made it more interesting, or just had some wins. He didn't have any wins the whole season, I don't think.
Yeah, no, he was completely pathetic this season. And I think and that's the best word that I can think of. He was just really, really sad. And embarrassing to watch. It was
embarrassing. I didn't see
this. Yeah.
Like you're on there, you got a He-Man blanket. I think it was a He-Man blanket or something when she was consoling him, the girlfriend. And he's just so, they're all entitled, but entitled and whiny. And he was going to make himself be on the cross like Jesus for his
birthday. Yes, yes, yes. That was hilarious.
I was very excited to see like the mini Wu-Tang. Whatever, but they didn't show that. But nobody else would do that. And the birthday party with the tree and the vagina and the tree house.
Yeah.
No one Logan doesn't feel like that about himself. Nobody thinks of themselves on the show.
Yeah.
Kendall thinks of himself. And it's just, and I remember when he was rapping, I think it was season two, he just doesn't have the awareness. Nobody thinks that's good. And he quotes hip-hop and he thinks that makes him cool. Just, Roman, I think we talked about it a little bit. We talked about Roman having the most growth so far what we thought he had. Well, growth is hard because none of them really grow. I think they get better at what they do. Like he got better at his job. He didn't grow as a human. It's very concerning that he was basically willing to have like a Nazi sympathizer as the president, because he knew it was his best business decision. That was disturbing.
Right.
But he's the only one that ever says something when their dad is in trouble or sick. If Connor's around, he will. But he's the only one that'll say something. When Shiv wanted to write the letter, he was like, I don't want to write the letter. To me, despite the fact he's like a sexual pervert and deviant, he's the most redeeming because he wants to have that sense of family. He wrote the article. True. He did the interview about Logan and he told the story about Kendall.
Right.
He wished that had been, you know, and Logan called him a faggot for his
trouble. Yeah.
is there anything else you thought about Roman this season?
I mean, it was nice kind of moving away from his sexual perversions.
And came back, but yeah.
You know, they didn't focus as much on it. And we got to see a little bit more of Roman beyond that, a little bit more of Roman, the person, as opposed to, you know, the guy who's masturbating in the office window.
Yeah, that almost turned me off from the show. I remember that episode. I was like, do I really want to watch this? This is really weird. I almost didn't keep going, but I stuck with it, thank God. But do you think,
yeah,
this is something too, and maybe as a woman is a different view, but I felt like last season, what was going on with Jerry was consensual. This season, they made it seem like he was just bugging her and harassing her. Is that just my perception, or did you think that, or?
No, I thought it was consensual. I to me, it seemed like it may have started as something that took her aback, maybe in the beginning. I don't know. But I definitely got the feeling that she was enjoying it. You know, it was sort of their dynamic. It was how they worked. And, you know, she would
stop, though. She was like, I have a boyfriend. Don't send me the pictures anymore. So I felt like at some point they were making it like it was a, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at what point it shifted. I don't know if it was when she got named, like, in, you know, CEO or whatever.
Yeah, because she didn't really need him anymore. Because at first they were kind of allies, but then when she was in her CEO, she was kind of like, go prove yourself, go play. But it just, I don't know. And I felt like it wasn't necessarily what they were doing with the characters. It was like they changed the tone of it, maybe because they knew that
it
was coming. So they changed it. But I mean, if you're outside the door talking dirty to somebody to make them get off, and then all of a sudden you're like, don't send dick pics. Like, you know, it doesn't seem consistent, but I mean, I know a woman has the right for consent and all that, but it just doesn't seem like a consistent as far as, you know, fiction goes. So that was the only thing I was.
I just felt that she was kind of back and forth. She was vacillating a little bit.
Yeah, I think that too. And it was like she wasn't like, and she still told a good job, and she was happy that he did a good job before he sent the picture. And I don't think she was going to do anything if she had actually got the picture, not Logan. But that part.
Yeah, that part I don't think she would have done anything.
And the last one we have is Connor. Connor got, I feel like, I may be wrong, I think Connor got more screen time this season than ever. I never really cared about Connor. This season, I really like Connor. I am the eldest son. That was the great scene. He said, I will keep on my coat as that is my right in the in this birthday party season.
Oh, at the birthday party, yes.
Yeah, and he got a little actual, what would you call it, storyline with Willa. He married her, or he proposed to her. She
accepted.
What did you think of Connor's journey?
Well, Connor's interesting because he's also got some delusions of grandeur as well.
He does. He does. Now, that is true. If Connor, I take it back.
Absolutely.
If Connor had a birthday party, it would be similar to Kendall's, I think, if he was doing a bash. It would just be in a different way.
Right. I agree. Yeah, it might be more, his would be more elegant.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
It'd be more focused on him as a visionary. It wouldn't
exactly
be self-aggrandizing of his whole life, but as of what he is now.
Yes.
And, but the funny thing is, just like the show does it on purpose. Connor is off to the side because he's not one of the three with Logan and the other wife. And so I even did it because I was thinking about the three kids, you know, and the three kids were the ones that went with, and that is some of the dynamic of a half brother, half sibling sometimes too, where you don't have the same parents and you're raised by different people to some degree. But I thought that was great. The last scene when he had a serious scene that he had, and he was like, I didn't see Pop for 3 years.
Right.
Like the first kid has it harder generally than the other kids if you have an abusive parent.
Right, definitely.
And I mean, in general, the first kid, you know, usually has it harder. But when you have an abusive parent, it's like really tough.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Connor was cast, you know, was an afterthought once Logan created his second
real family. Yeah, yeah. And we never hear about Connor's mom, but he still has dealings to the point of coming to the wedding with the kid's mom. So that's like it. And he even still gets mad about who she married. So he has something. That's Logan's like first wife, and rich people might have a different view of that and everything.
Right.
But yeah, that and that's the mom of the kids, and it's just so much different. But so in that way, if anybody, I feel sorry for is Connor. And Connor's a human being, even though He's not trying to stab people in the back. He did try to use his leverage to get some money this season and get some titles,
right,
and get his presidential
right campaign,
but much lighter than the other ones. He's not really to stab anybody in the back.
I think he did that more so in an effort to belong.
Yeah, that's true too.
Then because he was really interested in getting, you know, so, because he's always been on the periphery and somewhat disinterested in all the corporate goings on. So I think that move on his part was more about wanting to be a part of something.
That's a good point.
Familial. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, because he doesn't, but I think I loved how this season they showed, or they didn't show, but they said or mentioned how he had taken them camping and he shat on himself and they made fun of him, but he had taken them camping. He took Roman ice fishing or fishing or whatever. It was him playing a lot of the father figure role that Logan, because the dad didn't have the time, because he's much older than them. He's at least 10, 15 years older than
right
them. So he played that role. Yeah. And I thought, I like that. And they treat him like a joke, but they still, not Chip, but the boys still have affection and love for him too. It's a weird thing, because he was also like a
surrogate father. Yeah.
And so, so that part I kind of dug, even though they, you know, they give him shit for it still. I think that was the best thing of how they treat him when at the birthday party, when Kendall made the banner about him shitting himself, he's like, I took y'all. And they still make fun of him.
Yeah, that was too bad.
He was the one that did it, you know? So, I like Carter. Carter might be my favorite one, but he's just such a non-threat. You can't really take him seriously. Right. What do you think his, before we get off that, but what do you think Connor's politics are?
Interesting question. I think he would lean more towards the liberal side along with Shiv.
You think?
Or maybe more middle of the road.
It was weird, but the way he talked about it, he's running for Republican, but he talks about, I don't know, he's kind of out there when he talks about it. So he always reminds me of like a libertarian, or I can't remember what they said, like a libertarian, because they kind of drew both traits. But also, the one thing he did say, he said, Mattson is trying to deplatform people like me. And that's something the right-wing people say when they get banned from
interesting.
Facebook. And all that. So I think he's like an almost like Alex Jones, Rand Paul. It might be some of that too. They don't really formulate it, but I think there's something in there. Like I don't know, Connor, what you got going on? But but also he could be like I don't know, like some Bloombergish kind of stuff. It's kind of weird.
Right.
He's very. But I can see him doing the patriotic shit. All right, so your favorite moments of the season were what? What are your favorite moments of the season?
For me, I loved Kendall's birthday. That was, you know, it was nice watching that train wreck. You know, just seeing the level of disconnectedness that he had with the real world and him being in his own mind. So I enjoyed that, but my favorite. Well, and I also enjoyed Logan's urinary tract infection. That was great.
A wild episode.
That was a wonderful scene. But my favorite one moment was at the very end when Tom put his hand on Shiv's shoulder and asked her if she was okay. Let me just twist the knife in.
Yeah, hey, baby. And Tom is so stupid, he doesn't realize that he just gave himself up.
Yeah. Any moment with Greg and Tom, though, is awesome to watch.
They're funny sports. Yeah. They're always funny. I think my favorite moments were, obviously, that final scene, just in general. He said, get your own pile. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And Logan, from the very beginning, is kind of resented the fact that they don't have to work for what they've had, and he did.
Right.
I would say it really struck me when they read the letter that Shiv wrote on that show and he was in the controller room. That really struck me as a moment. It just hit me. But my favorite moment, my favorite episode probably was the episode before this, even though this was like a really good episode, but it's almost cheating when it's the season finale. But
right,
the confrontation, the final confrontation between Kendall and Logan and everything that was going on around that. And I really liked Shiv and her mom as well, too. I thought that was almost
right. Sick.
But the whole deal with them poisoning, whether he was going to poison him or not, and he literally calls his grandson over there to taste it. That was bad. And a lot of people misinterpreted that because it's actually, I don't know if he was just fucking with them, but if he really thought it, it's the perfect play because he's going to stop it because it's, like, he wasn't, it's kind of sick, but it's sick that you think your son, like, it's not, it's not crazy to think that Kendall would poison him. And the whole family keeps saying he's trying to kill him. You know, the things he does, he knows that somebody at Logan's age, he's putting stress on him, he's putting, you know, he's not. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, I don't think Kendall would try to kill him, but it's not a crazy, on a scale of 1 to 10, there's like a 20% chance he might do it. So, you know, so I don't know, but it was like the perfect play. It's very Machiavellian, but
it was definitely.
And the way Logan just twisted the knife in and he kept, Kendall was like, I'm better than you. And, you know, you do things I can't. He's like, how long did that boy, how long was he under? He's like, are you queer? Did you try to come on to him? You know, it was just Logan. It was like,
definitely.
Like he kept poking the bear and the bear was like, fuck it, fuck off.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite season. And I mean, that favorite moment of the season. And they're just both very good actors. And you put them
in. They are.
And I was waiting for that. They kept them apart most of the season. They were good on the walk, but they had the walk in that episode with Adrian Brody. They had to stay away from each other. But in this, they were right in front of each other.
Right. And it was a brutal scene. That one scene you're talking about. It was a very brutal scene, but those two couldn't have been calmer.
Yeah, they both.
You know, so you know, they were both very, very chill, very relaxed, very, you know, soft spoken, but just the energy between them was powerful.
And it just was, and the little things like when, and it could have been, and it's little things you can interpret. So Kendall, they bring the plates or they bring the bowls, and Kendall says, "No, not that one, this one." So if you think somebody's trying to poison you can't do that. If somebody's trying to poison you, like whoever the cook was, already, if you said this especially for my dad, they should know, you know, I know that happens, but at that level of that money, I thought if I had an inkling somebody's going to poison you, and they said, no, this one. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Like, so it's like, did Kendall do that to mess with them? Or did he really legitimately do that? Or, you know, had he really prepared this great meal for his dad that
right.
was trying to... You know,
did he look out for his dietary restrictions or did he want to scare his dad a little bit?
Why was Kendall so resistant? Why can't he just let Logan have his own food? Like it still was a power struggle because he wanted to say, I made this for you. Please take this. You know, it still was that thing, you know?
Right.
And to wrap up, I have no idea where they go from here. To me, that almost seemed like a series finale.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of, but I mean, there's still a lot of things that can happen. I mean, we have to see what happens. I'm not 100% sure that the deal is done.
Yeah, that's a good point that you have, because they're very good at like saying, like I said, we talked about it the whole time. It's like they say this is going to happen, then it doesn't happen, or this happened, or this happened. And the whole shareholders meeting was supposed to be this big thing, and they just kind of made a deal and they averted it. And I mean, and it's not, it wasn't officially done when we went off. I mean, basically, but it wasn't, like, it literally hadn't signed it and everything. So, I mean, I don't know, but I think whatever they do, they're very good at with these cliffhangers at slowing things down to like a very low and slow burn.
So right.
We had, you know, 4 or 5 episodes to resolve Kendall trying to take over or trying to be the snitch or the whistleblower. We the first season when he confessed, I still think that was the best of the three endings.
Yes.
When he confessed to when Logan had him and he basically brought it back in and called him his number one boy. I still think that was the best ending, but they have great endings. But that didn't even come up again, really. I mean, it came up a little bit, but and it still hasn't served like it hasn't hurt anybody yet, even though he admitted to it. I'm sure that'll keep being like an underlying theme. Like this could be, and I don't know how much I think it's Alexander Skarsgård, who's a really good actor. I first saw
love him.
I don't know how often he'll be on the show. So, right. And I don't know enough about business to figure out what you do in these situations or where they go, but I'm pretty sure that Kendall's not going to just go off and start his own. I mean, it's that kind of show where they would go off and start their own company. It doesn't seem like that kind of show.
No, I don't think so.
And so definitely I
think that the whole show has been about them trying to, you know, get their piece of Logan's pile. Mm-hmm. Not them going out and branching off and starting their own, as Logan said. And I don't think they're about to start now.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to. I think they're always going to be Lucy and Charlie Brown, because every time they try to, he just pulls it out from under him. So yes. I don't know how it goes, but it should be, maybe they turn on each other and try to get back in his good graces and get some kind of position. And
right.
But so overall, what grade would you give this season?
I give it a B+.
I think that's what I would do. A-, B+. I'm not jaded, but I'm heavily influenced by the final episode. So I think I would give it an A-, but like right on that line, like the last point you could give of an A- to close right. to a B+. So but yeah. But thank you for doing this. This was good.
See, thank you for asking.
And so for the Televangelist podcast, remember the IB Network, this podcast feed, please rate and subscribe and spread the word and share the podcast. Thank you, everybody.